Morning, everybody. If you would just pray with me. Jesus, thank you for this morning, coming together here to meet with you. We just pray that you would help us to receive your word, that we would be able to understand and be convicted, and give us direction. We thank you, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me, we're going to do a few verses, so have your Bibles ready. But we're going to start with Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read from 18 to 22. So Matthew 4, starting at verse 18. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. So we see here Peter, Andrew, James, John, all fishermen, and they're doing their work. And as soon as Jesus offers the invitation, "Follow me." That's what he says to them. "Follow me." They just stop what they're doing, leave their, I guess you could say, career and craft, everything that they've invested their lives into, and they simply follow Jesus. Kind of crazy, right? And now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 11. I'll just read it. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." Again, "follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" So here we also see Matthew, the tax collector. Same thing. Jesus invites him and says, "Follow me." And they just leave what they're doing, again, with Matthew. And Matthew is, he's seen as someone who is very disliked among his peers and community, right? Because the Romans were really smart. Instead of putting someone who's Roman in charge, they put a Jew in charge of basically collecting the tax for the Romans. So it's kind of what would that be an example of? It's kind of like in Hong Kong with our chief executive, right? It's a local Hong Kong person, but it's someone from China who kind of put them into power. So in some ways, the people in Hong Kong, you don't have this like love for like whoever's in charge, because you know they actually don't represent your best interests. They represent, you know, I guess the boss's best interest. And that's similar here, right, with the tax collectors. And not only were they collecting money, doing the work of the Roman Empire to collect taxes and money for the empire, but they were also taking in money extra for themselves. So they're the most hated among the people. And that's why the Pharisees and then said, "Why are you eating with the tax collectors and sinners? Why are you eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" I guess for us, it's like, oh, what's the big deal, right? But it was a big deal because Jesus was inviting these people that no one liked, everyone hated, even like people you considered outcasts and weirdos, into their safe community, right? And that would probably be our reaction too. You know, when you have, let's not even think of church, just in your social circle, when someone invites someone that is outside of your social circle, that is a little different, right? You'll be like, dude, why'd they invite them to my house, like this dinner party or whatever? And that's what's going on here as well. And the focus I have is like, the people that Jesus invited to follow him are also different, right? And then one of the questions that we, when people say or ask us is, what makes you a Christian, right? Our identity. What is our identity as a Christian? And there's this theory, it's like this math theory, I don't really understand it, that takes this approach on identity. And there's two ways to approach identity, identifying something. And the first way, it's based, like how do you define a variable? It's based on static elements. So what you inherit or what things are, right? So for example, in the case of us, there are many things that we just inherit because, right? For instance, your race. You know, you're Chinese because you inherited that from your parents, so that makes you Chinese, right? And even in our faith, there are many things that you inherit. Maybe you're like, oh, because I'm baptized, because I'm, you know, because I am a house church leader, that makes me a leader at Solomon's Porch. Or even, you know, because of your education, because you've achieved your graduate. Now I am, you know, someone who is educated. So those are static elements that define who you are based on what you inherit or what you've achieved. But there's another way that, according to this math theory, that you can define something, and it's based on a more dynamic, ever-changing variable. And how they describe it is there's this circle, right, big circle, and how you are defined is if you are approaching this circle. Let me explain. So they use this example of how many of you here play an instrument? Who plays any sort of... okay, Janella, Dan, do you play any instrument? Kind of. So you can play... the mic. Like, okay, so beatboxer. Got it. And then Pastor Nate, anyone play any instrument? Okay, this is not going to be a good example. So we have three people to work with. So any sort of instrument, like if you play any piano, come on. Connie, you play some piano? All right. Come on. We all learn piano. Okay. So among you, among the room, who play an instrument, how many of yourselves would call yourself a musician? Or no? Kind of went, Okay, Janelle was like, me, Pastor Nate went like that. Isn't that interesting? So there's what's the distinguisher between someone who plays an instrument and someone who would call themselves a musician? I think the distinguisher is if a musician is someone who is actively pursuing that craft, right? So it's actually an attitude thing. And because you're someone who actively pursues, you would be, yes, I'm a musician, right? And there's musicians of people of totally different levels, but it's a attitude and heart thing. And so you could have someone who's so good at playing guitar. Amazing, but if they haven't touched it in the last, I don't know, decade, you ask them, are you a musician? They probably would say, no, I'm not, right? Because they're not. It's that attitude. And so that's the other way that you would identify with something, if that's you. This is a more of a dynamic way, is if you are approaching that center, right? So that center in this case would be, I guess, music. And if you are pursuing that, then that would make you a musician, right? And so that is also the case, I believe, with what Jesus was trying to teach here, right? All his disciples, or these apostles, all different walks of life, right? We have this group of fishermen, probably living a very repetitive, hard life, right? Very simple. They just go out, fish, wake up early, long hours, go to sleep. And Jesus says, follow me. They follow. Then they have the tax collector, very different lifestyle. And then they also have someone, Simon the Zealot, right? There's not much on him, but I imagine because he's called the Zealot, he's like anti-establishment, right? He's like very pro-Jew, or maybe he's very like religiously zealot, kind of like the Pharisees. So different, right? But yet, they all share the common trait of being, when Jesus invites them to follow, they follow. And thus, I think that's what made them believers. Not based on, as I shared earlier, there's these static elements where if they did this, did that, that made them believers. Both their willingness to follow Jesus. In Matthew 19, this is the rich young ruler. Also gets an invitation. The young man said to him, and this is after Jesus kind of talks to him and says, you need to follow the commands. And he's like, I did all that. And he says, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, again, follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And so we see here, with the rich young ruler, he did everything, right? He followed the law. I'm sure he memorized the Bible, did all these things. But in the end, when Jesus gave him the invitation to follow me, he couldn't, and he chose not to. And Jesus' invitation to us is to follow him. And he also says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way. And so even in the early church, I might be butchering this, I was talking to Pastor Nate, they had this greeting to each other. And it was either a greeting where they said to each other, are you on the way or are you of the way, right? We now always say, we actually say this too. We always say, are you a believer? Are you a believer, right? But I think a better way is saying, are you on the way, no pun intended, is are you on the way, right? Or I guess in this case, as Jesus invites, are you following Jesus, right? So it's not about what you've achieved, what you've done this, what you've done in the past, what you will do. It's a present tense thing. Right now, are you following Jesus? So I want to invite Nate up. Let's close our eyes. And like I said, it's a present tense thing. It's not what you've done. It's not what you will do, but right now, what is the attitude in your heart? Are you really following? Are you seeking out his will? Are you quieting your soul so that you can connect? Or are you just doing, getting stuff done? And even for those of us in ministry, it's so easy just to Know what your Christian responsibilities are and do it, right? That was like the rich young ruler. But what's going in your heart? Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to let go of those things before you and really follow? And, you know, I think that all of us here at Morning Prayer or on listening online, you do have the desire to follow, but sometimes in the busyness, we just forget to quiet ourselves and connect with Jesus. And so I just want to give that opportunity now where we can just go before the Lord, have Him minister to us, surrender. Just surrender to Him. Reestablish that relationship, that trust relationship.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me.
Let's just continue in the spirit of this song. Let's just declare to the Lord. Share with Him why you follow Him, why He is worth it, why you trust Him. Let's pray. Yes, Jesus, we thank you that you have, for all of us, that you've given us an invitation to follow you, Lord. And yeah, you're so worth it, Lord, to be pursued as we recognize that we cannot operate in our own strength. We can do it, maybe sustain things. And seem like we're able to handle things, Lord, but we need you, Lord, and so we want to follow you. We trust that you will lead us and guide us, God, in every step of the way, Lord. And so, Lord, would you also draw us near to you, Lord, even right now, that we would sense your presence, we would sense your touch, your breath over us, Lord. Know that you are real, Lord. I just felt like God wanted to affirm His identity in you guys. He's saying to you, this is, you know, my daughter, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. But I felt like not only is the Lord saying that to you, but He's saying that in a very close proximity, right? Not just this loud declaration, but He's actually saying that almost like a whisper, just very close to you, just whispering it intimately right by you. This is my daughter, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And I just felt like Jesus is just giving that invitation. Do you want to follow me? Do you want to follow me? Yes, Lord. Thank you. Let's cover our community now. Let's pray for our community, those on the list, those suffering from cancer, going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for our God's healing touch, of course, but God's presence to be so real, God's love to be so real in their lives. Let's also cover our community, those who are sick, but also in need of an encounter, an invitation from God. Let's pray for the circumstances, for healing, that God would use people around these people to also share the gospel, to share the truth and hope. Let's also cover our community who's suffering from infirmities. Let's also pray for those seeking jobs. Let's pray for God to open doors and to lead. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's lift up Singapore SPSG, led by Pastor Sam Kim. Let's pray for Indonesia, and we can cover SPIN with Pastor Salmat. And also let's cover the US, SPNY, New York, led by Ruth and Jess and Kelly. Let's pray for the education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, P. Marion Yiling, SP Youth with P. Nade, and SPU with Pastor Andrew. Pray for the prayer and healing ministries, intercessory prayer led by Matt, and the well and river led by Rachel. Cover our outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for the team, the encounters for the teams, for the love of God to flow through these teams. Let's lift up the house churches meeting tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Westville, that if they're having their Thanksgiving celebration, it'd be really a time of coming together for thanks, and also for good sharing as well on the Sunday's message on sex. Yes, Jesus. We're just so grateful for that invitation to follow you, and it's a constant invitation. It's not a one thing, as oftentimes we get distracted. Sometimes we are off the path, Lord, but you're always reminding us to follow you in love, Lord. Just always reminding us to once again follow you, to trust you, and just pursue you, God. And Lord, would you really help us today to be guided by you? Would you open our eyes and ears to hear and see what you're doing today around us and through us and with us, Lord? And just give us that discernment, not just to sense what you're doing, but just to sense your presence, Lord, with us, Lord, that we would feel so much comfort and security and confidence knowing that you are with us today, Lord. We thank you, and just pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everybody. Have a great day, and please continue spending time with God.